I don't know if you enjoy these times as much as I, being able to be with one another, to sing these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, but it is extremely uplifting and beneficial for the souls of men to be able to do what we are privileged to do on such occasions as this. And I remember, well, there were a lot of thoughts that were running through my mind as I was, as we were singing these songs, but one that kept coming back time and time again was, I pray that our songs tonight serve as Jehoshaphat appointed the singers to go out before the battle, that our songs tonight may precede us in the battles that we fight every day in regards to living the Christian life. It is a beautiful privilege that the Lord has blessed us with. You know, I was thinking there are so many of these songs. I got a dozen songs marked just, I thought, wow, I need to bring that up, and I need to bring that up. And that's not even pertaining to my lesson. It's not 47. I think I meant to say 4-7. No, that wouldn't work either, but, cause then I would be lying. So, you knew I couldn't get it done in 4-7. So we'll just leave it at that. But, you know, I think about the tempest. I think about the sea that we are upon. The great ship of Zion travels upon a sea. And there are times in which there's a great deal of turbulence upon that sea. I'm thinking of Psalm 107 at this time. There are many illustrations that are utilized. There's the illustration, first of all, of a journeyman, a man who actually becomes lost in his travels. And it says in Psalm 107 that verse number 4, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. And I thought about that song that, in fact, I couldn't even sing the entirety of the song that Brother Chad brought to our minds, where no one stands alone. I don't know if we ever really stand alone, but there are many times in which we feel as if we stand alone. And but here are wanderers along the way. They're hungry and thirsty, and they are fainting because they have nothing to eat or drink upon their journey. Then you get down to verse number 10, and you see those that are shackled, those that are bound and imprisoned. They are afflicted in irons. And then you get down to verse number 17, and he describes them again as afflicted. In 18, because of their affliction, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. In other words, they are so famished, and they are so anxiety driven and afflicted that they cannot even begin to take sustenance. I don't know if you've ever been by the bedside of someone who was fainting and who was afflicted in life, as he says here, unto the gates of death. They cannot take not even a piece of ice, not even a little drink. And that's where these individuals find themselves. I'm going to skip a section here because you go down to verse number 37 and you find 35 and 37, and you find a farmer, a man who makes his living, a man who every aspect of his life wraps around the rain that comes his way. And yet it says there that he turneth the wilderness into, this is the Lord turning the wilderness into a standing water, a dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for a habitation. And so you find along the journey that we have great affliction oftentimes. And And then you come back to verse number 22 and following, and you find that illustration of the seamen, that illustration of the ship. And it says, "And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down into the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. And he commandeth, and it raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the water, the waves thereof, and they mount up to the heavens, and they go down again into the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble, and they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunkard." And it says, "And all they are at their wits' end." Probably use that phrase once or twice, right? I feel as if I am at my wits' end. Here is a sailor. He's not just out on, this isn't just a little bitty turbulence out there. This is out there on the real sea. This is out there where the waves become mountains. And the lulls in between become great valleys. This is where big ships like the Titanic end up on the bottom of the ocean because of the great waves that the Lord brings upon the ship. And these individuals have gone and said that we are at our wits' end. You imagine, this is not a novice out on the sea. I'm thinking about Matthew chapter 8, Mark 4, and Luke 8, where the disciples, experienced commercial fishermen, men whose father before them, and no doubt their father even before them, were fishermen, upon the very sea upon which they reside at this present time in those chapters. And it's interesting to me that in Matthew chapter 8 it says that the ship was covered. This is no little bitty storm that has arisen. This has frightened even the great shipmen and the great fishermen of the sea. And it has covered there. I find that interesting because Mark would say that the ship was full of water. I don't know if you've ever been out in the deep when the storm and the waves are so overpowering that they're filling the ship of which you're in, and the ship begins to sink. And so no wonder then these individuals in Luke chapter 8 would say that they were in jeopardy of their lives. Oh, when you think about this beautiful psalm here, Psalm 107, here you find an individual or several individuals. These are seamen. This is not just one man out on the sea. This is a whole ship full of experienced shipmen. And the Bible says that they have absolutely no hope. And I would suggest unto you, my friends, that when you're going through the toughest times of your life, that you must give up all hope if you ever seek help. See, you must realize that hope does not belong within my own bosom. That it cannot, my help cannot reside within me. That I need the help and the aid of someone who is greater. Someone who controls the tempest and someone who controls the sea. And I have to relinquish that hope in self, that hope in humanity, so that I may grasp a hold of that hope and that help that is in the divine. Great men of old had to learn this lesson. Elijah on several occasions needed to learn this. David was a man who learned this on many occasions. I think of Habakkuk and the questions that he had with God and his good book must have undergone this. But I'm reminded at presence of a man by the name of Jeremiah who five times went into the depths and resources of his own soul, not understanding the scheme of God. And he would question God. They're called the confessions of Jeremiah. Struggled with that terminology for a long time. Jeremiah is not confessing his sin in this. He ends up, by the end, confessing his faith. in God, his trust in the Almighty during this time. But there are five of them beginning in chapter 11 and going through chapter 20. And we remember chapter 20 probably more so than the rest, because it is in that case that Jeremiah says, I quit. I give up. I'm not going to preach in the name of Jehovah anymore. And then he says, yet there was this fire that was burning down inside my bones. I don't know how long Jeremiah quit. I don't know how long he put aside the commandment of God to go to Israel and to preach, but I know that he did it. And then he said to himself, I must. There is something inside of him that burns with the passion of deity, the passion of God, that he must do what needs to be done. You know, in all of the public preaching that Jeremiah did, he was certainly a fortified city. A bronze wall or an iron pillar, as he states in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 18. But when he went into the resources of his own closet, he struggled and questioned God on many occasions. Sometimes God even getting extremely mad at him and disciplining him. But he pours out his heart with all of the frustrations that he has. And then you go down and you notice, well, maybe just to wrap this up in a couple of statements. What you find when you read about these great men of faith in their failures, what you find is that faith is not trusting God on the other side of the storm. Faith is trusting in God in the midst of the storm. That's what faith really is. You know, trust is found 134 times in the King James Bible. And it is the heart of where we always need to run when our minds and our hearts fail us in regards to the wisdom of men. I've got a list of several passages here that I want to go through very quickly. But, you know, you think about what Ruth was told as she found the fields of Boaz. In Ruth chapter 2 and verse number 2, it says, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. Notice here it says, whose wings thou art come to trust. Under whose wings thou art come to trust. That led me to do a little bit of research, and you know, you find that terminology so often. Is it not under the wings of the Almighty that we seek our trust? When everything else fails, we seek that. Psalm 17, verse number 8, keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wing. I'll let you research the rest of them. But I find this interesting. As Jesus, it would seem, almost in tears as he looks out over the city of Jerusalem. There, the very time frame of his death, he would look out and he would say, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often I would have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings. That's what God wants to do for us. He wants to gather us under the shadow of his protective wings. In the storm, when things are failing, that's where God wants us to be. When everything is going smooth and everything is going right and everything is going, that's where God wants us to be, under the shadow and under the care of his protection. Oh, my friends, the Word of God is such a powerful reminder of the gifts that God has blessed us with. Think about this. The songs that we have sung tonight. We've talked about Just As I Am, that poor, wretched, blind We've talked about love lifted me, right? It says, souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. This is one we didn't sing that I was hoping we would get to. Master, the tempest is raging. But this is the one where no one stands alone. Once I stood in the night with my head bowed low. Anybody ever been there? Maybe someone here tonight is there in relationship to their spiritual condition. Your head is bowed low. You have no other place to go. Well, the only place that there ever was to go was to the Lord. He is the only one who can lift up our eyes unto that glory land way. And so if we will trust Him in faith, hearing His word, in obedience, submitting our life to His word by faith and repentance and confession that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then at that moment we are prepared candidates for that watery grave where that old man can die and a new man can arise with a different perspective on life. Now that perspective is, oh happy day. Oh happy day that we have. We want you to have that happy day. We want you to be blessed with all of the blessings of the Lord. The only way that you can do that is to obey His voice. If you're a child of God and you've gone by the wayside, see, I'm not just talking about the heartaches of life here. We all suffer from the heartaches of life. Some of us have buried very close friends. Some of us have buried very close family. Some of us have lost loved ones that have been very close to us. Some of us are struggling with the issues of physical difficulties in life. That's not really what we're talking about tonight. The sailor is not meant just to get to the shore. This is the shore that is on the other side, where heaven awaits. And we hope that as a child of God, if you need to take the opportunity tonight to make confession of your sin, to appease the wrath of Almighty God with the blood of His Son, that you would do that as together we stand and sing.